Have you ever thought about how much Jesus loves you? This is Patty Scalzo, welcoming you to Shi'ar Jashub, the Bible study program brought to you by the Church of Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut. Today we will continue listening to a special sermon delivered by my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo, entitled, The Love of Jesus for His People. Let's listen to part two as Pastor Greg answers this very question.
And Jesus' love cries out to us from the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 11, you hear the cry to his children. In verse 28, Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who labor, Messiah says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, for I am gentle and lowly, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. He calls out, the love of Messiah calling out, come to me, I'll give you rest. Come to me if you're heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. The yoke that we have upon us as Christians is not heavy because Jesus Christ shares it with us. He says, I'm gentle, I'm lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Now, you know the controversy in the Gospels with the Pharisees and the religious rulers over the Sabbath. And the very next section after what I just read, Jesus has this confrontation. They're looking to find any reason to criticize him, to criticize his disciples. And it says in chapter 12, right after what I read, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. This is Matthew chapter 12. I'm at verse 3 now. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. And the priests allow this. If you know the account of the Old Testament, he and his men are famished, and in this desperate situation, the priests allow them to eat the showbread. Verse 5, well, have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Why? Well, they're working, right? They're doing the work of God on the Sabbath, but they're servants of God, so they're blameless. And here he and his disciples are servants of God, doing the work of the Father, and they criticize them for picking a grain, plucking a head of grain and eating it. Men who have given up everything to follow the Messiah so that they might eat, they pluck a grain and they say, well, you're doing work. That must be work. You're breaking the Sabbath. Verse 6, yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. Jesus is greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He's greater than the temple, and he's the Lord over the Sabbath. In the sister passage in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, he says to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. We need the rest. God gives a Sabbath, not that we are servants of the Sabbath, we're servants of God. And God knows what we need. He knows we need a day to worship him. We need a day to rest from our regular work, to stop. Could you imagine if secularists ran everything and you didn't have Sunday? And every day would be just, you know, like in Star Trek, day number 1,220. It would never stop. You just would have one day after another without a break. God knows what we need. And the Sabbath is made for men because we need to rest. We need to rest in him. And Jesus is Lord even of the Sabbath. He's not restrained by the Sabbath. He's Lord over the Sabbath. So he departs from them there. It says in verse 9, now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. He goes right into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, they're still trying to trap him. Now they've picked upon the disciples picking a grain to eat, as though that was customary work. And now they're trying to catch him on the healing. Notice it implies what? They recognize the fact that he has healed, right? There have been miracles that have happened. Miracles like with Elijah, with Elisha. These should be miracles that call attention to his lordship. But instead, they use it to try to trap him. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And it says, Matthew says, that they might accuse him. They're asking the question not to know the answer, but to try to accuse him. Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Right. If it falls into the pit, you're going to save it. You're not going to say, well, I'm doing customary work. This is not your regular occupation. You're going to react with mercy, with grace, and your own self-interest too, and pull out, save that animal from the pit. He says in verse 12, of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good. That's good. You heal the man's withered hand. Healing is good, right? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. There's your answer. Therefore, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. He stretched it out. It was restored as whole as the other. That's good. Healing is good. You see how much Jesus loved this man that he wanted to heal him and make him whole. It's good. The Pharisees don't understand it. They've just seen good. They've just seen a miracle. They've just seen the power of God, and their reaction to it is to go out and plot against him. So he said, what could he do to win them over? Well, with that mindset, there's really nothing he can do, right? Because if you call good evil and evil good, how can a person respond to the Holy Spirit? Jesus is good. The works that he does, they're good. The words that he spoke, they're good. And it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath. And then in verse 15, but when Jesus knew it, he knows they're trying to plot against him, he withdrew. He leaves there. He withdraws from there. And a great crowd or multitude follows him. And what does it say in verse 15? A great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. This is how much the Messiah loves his people. Yet he warned them, verse 16, not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant. This is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out. You're not going to have a fanfare, a rebellion, a revolt in the middle of the streets like you have in the revolutions. He's not going to take his authority and have a trampling revolt. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. A bruised reed he will not break. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A bruised reed he's not going to break. A smoking flax, that's the wick of a lamp. It's like a wick that's not burning brightly. It's about to go out. It's just smoking. He doesn't quench it. He doesn't put it out. He's gentle. He's loving. He's merciful. That's why he heals all those who come after him, who follow him. And if you notice, they're praising God for this work that's being done. You know, you think about that man, his withered hand, how he must have suffered his whole life, and how he goes every week to the synagogue and he's believing in God and trying to do what's right, but he has this terrible disability, and God knows it and God loves him. And there are promises in God's word. One of the most beautiful Psalms is Psalm 103. We sing part of it over and over in services. Bless the Lord, O my soul, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, right? But there's more to that psalm. In Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord and don't forget his benefits. Verse 3, what are the benefits? Who forgives all your iniquities? A benefit of being a child of God. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? This man with the withered hand who trusts in God, Messiah, comes in and he's made whole. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Who, verse 4, redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness, the love of God, loving kindness and tender mercies. Don't forget, my soul, who we serve. The Lord saves us. He loves us. He forgives our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our lives from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And then verse 5 of Psalm 103, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Good. It is good to heal on the Sabbath, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There's a promise of renewal. You know, we get caught in this world and we feel it. You feel the pains of getting older. You feel the aches. You feel your body not working the way it did when you're younger. And you see the results all around you of a world caught in a downward spiral, that second law of thermodynamics breaking up that which was created. And yet we're not to be like the rest of the world. We have a God who desires to renew us. He renews our youth like the eagles. We're supposed to soar. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
As always, we would greatly enjoy hearing from you. Our address is Shi'ar Jashub, P.O. Box 518, Branford, Connecticut, 06405. Our Sunday service is at the Memorial Hall on Meeting House Lane in Madison, Connecticut. Service is at 10 a.m. We pray the Lord Jesus blesses you as you grow in the knowledge of Him.